Welcome to Camilo's Radio Hour. It's not really a show yet because it doesn't have content still. I'm still trying to figure out. I say what I want to say, basically, and that makes up the hour. So how can you really give that a name other than my hour? So it's good, So it is another episode of that. While I'm getting settled here, I hope you guys are having a good week. I hope no one's really stressed out about this strike. Honestly, these things, they seem to happen like every year now. Last year got canceled before anything really went down, and this year it seems like things are kind of headed the same way. I know the elementary schools had a strike just last week, and I think they're back up and running. So it's pretty clear that the government doesn't like strikes. They're not going to just forget, like they're not going to forget about it and say, and postpone it for too long. Like, to me, it seems like something's gonna get figured out. It'd be interesting to do like a bit of looking into this strike thing, because like I don't even know what's the demand this time. So I know it's contract teachers it's promoted by the union, because like I know a lot of my contract teachers. It's not like I'm filled with contract teachers or anything, but it's not like they necessarily want to strike. It's more of like, oh, we have to strike. So at some point there must have been a collection of part-time contract teachers, and I think just. I think contract staff overall, they don't have to necessarily be teachers, but anybody in the school board that is contracted. A mass of them must have collected and said, they're arguing for, I'm going to assume, benefits or a wage increase. So, hey, it's something to look into, honestly. Thinking about it now, to know that story would be something that would add to this show. That would be an example of content. So I only have assumptions right now, what I think is going on. I wonder if that's like, what if we could look that up? I mean, now that I've said it, if we can just get some basic information. It's not going to be that different from what I said. So, anyways, the idea is, hopefully no one's stressed out about it. Even if your classes get canceled, it's not like you're going to lose the credit. It's not like they're going to do you like that. You've already put in half of the semester in. So, no one's just going to take that away from you. Hopefully you have a good mark and all. Like, if you're doing pretty bad and poorly and all this, and you miss the drop the class deadline, which just happened, then, I mean, hopefully that's not a situation where you're expecting, like, the second half of the term to, like, give you this amazing mark. You're doing pretty bad, so hopefully that's not a very common case. And even those people, like this stuff, like, I mean, they will definitely address it. You're not just gonna get like, you're not just gonna lose the credit or get stuck with a bad mark. If you could present like a reasonable case. Most of these are about the strike that just happened. So Oh, but that one, well, that one I have to pay in order to read. Yeah, so on top of their, on top of this, like, contract teachers and their position, like their cause, there's also like a law that was passed that supposedly made striking illegal, and so now people are angry with that. I think that's what the strike that just happened was about. So that'd be a cool thing to that. I'm sure. Please don't stress out too much about that. That's something that may happen. Anyways, well, this week was. Other than that, I mean, it's been a nice week. The weather's still pretty good for November. And I saw the moon today when I was coming back from class. I got about 6. It's already dark. So like it feels like it's 9 o'clock at 6. But it was really beautiful sight of the moon. It was like something I hadn't seen in a while, and well, that's kind of a nice thing, but it also does suck that everything that the whole day gets darker so fast now. But hopefully that's not anyone's, like, no one's too concerned about that. Like, there's more things to care about. So that's a brief overview of the week. I'm sure by next week. I'm sure everyone had something happen to them in this week, and I didn't get to cover that. Well, that's a shame. There's only so much time in this show. I wanted to get to every story, but this show is limited. I'm constrained, so I apologize. Like, I mean, there's no way to fit it. There's just no way. I really tried. So I'd like to extend my apology to anyone who feels underrepresented by the content of the show, by what's going on in this room right now. My sympathy, and that's out there. I recognize that you're there and everything. You're not alone in this struggle. And I mean, what else can you do except take it day by day? So like that's I'm sorry, that's the best I can do. That's what I can do for you. Moving forward, this show will expand, and it will address the needs of the community in a much more direct kind of way. But for now, we're gonna switch gears and go into a bit about like where we left off last week. Because as much as I like to joke and say like there's no theme, there's no narrative in this show, everything is just too random, and it's just me saying things, and then hopefully they connect with each other. And like people can extract value from it. There's actually like a series we've been doing in this show, in this hour of radio. And for anyone who's been tuning in, they're likely to want to know what's up with that. So we've been looking into classics, and last week I left you with this is where we transition into more like content-based type of show rather than just lines about this or that. Let's talk a bit about the classics and where that's going. So, last week I left you with three songs that I believed were examples of classics. And my reasoning was that people may or may not like these songs. That's not what makes it a classic. That doesn't play a difference in deciding if it's classic. Instead, because the song shows a significant musical or lyrical ability, the pure impressive nature of the artist's skill should be enough to convince anyone that the song has undeniable value. So, technically, a song with undeniable value is capable of transcending generations, making it a song that everyone appreciates. And then those types of songs there, we refer to them as classics. So that's the theory I bounced on you guys last week. And I mean, I think, well, in this sense, like, I think it's a pretty good theory, because it says that classics are anything that can be proven to be significantly impressive for a human being to create. And I think that goes, that fits in with a lot of classic examples of things. I like that definition. So I made up a list of things that could count as classic to go with this definition, to give it some support. So it would be things like the Iliad and the Odyssey, the Roman Colosseum, the Mona Lisa, Godfather movies, and Elvis Presley's career. So how are these things classic? Well, they're so impressive. They show the limits of human ability in several fields that they just have undeniable, they have value that everybody can appreciate. So, like, why is the Mona Lisa a classic? Well, who knew that a human being could paint something like the Mona Lisa? No one else has the skill to do this. So this example stands out from the rest of art and becomes the classic art piece. Something else like The Godfather, like The Godfather, Godfather Part 2, it may not be everyone's favorite movie, but because it's so impressive in its acting, it's got this production that was very impressive, had a lot of actors, and it had a tragedy that was very well developed, and you could definitely feel, you felt the tragedy of the movie. So because it just came together in such an impressive way with the actors and the production and then the tragedy, it's too impressive to say. Well, it's enough to say that it's a classic. That's why we recognize it. Not because we necessarily love watching the movie, but because of all these aspects around it that make it impressive. So we can take that and show it to our future generations or to people from different cultures and explain to them that to make a movie like this requires a lot. I mean, it requires a lot of skill and talent. So it's not easy to make. It shows the talents of many human beings. So because there's nothing else like that, it's a classic. And the same thing would be for like Elvis Presley. Like if you need a third example, like his music changed the world. He was like a symbol of rock and roll, and that and his style and his kind of music inspired many other people to make music. So because his influence was so great, you can show that to your kids and say, look, this guy was so influential in the music there is today. Like nothing could be if it wasn't for what he did. So that's that power he had is like, it's so impressive that his whole career is like prestigious in a way, and it's classic. That would be the word for it. So I like this definition because it allows classicness to be attributed to like genuine ability and talent, and to the response of respect that it arouses from people. Basically, a classic is anything that exceeded expectations. And so, and this makes classicness an achievable goal to work towards as well, because you can think like, oh, if like I want to make something that's classic, how do I go about doing that? Well, make something that is so influential and unique, it will be considered a classic. Just make your work undeniably impressive and it will gain classic status. So I hope like that you've been able to follow along with that, because I think it was a good conclusion to get down to. I feel like it applies to a lot of what I consider to be classic. It's not always that I like it per se, that I think it's the best compared to contemporary examples. But I recognize that it was very impressive to create. So that's why it would be a classic to me. So the problem with this definition is that it allows for evidently non-classic things to cheat their way into being classics. Yeah. So you could we'll actually stop right here and listen to and just kind of like just kind of let that idea sit in there. That would be something consider. Do you think that's a good definition of what makes something classic? Is it undeniably something with undeniable or impressive ability? It's a depiction of ability and talent that shows the human ability. Is that the definition of classic? Well, last week I gave an example to that with, and I gave an example to that, and I would like to play the same example again. By the way, there is like a noise in this room. And I hope it's not like picking up on the microphone, because it's loud. But anyways, here is the song. Here's one of my favorite songs. Hope you can enjoy this. I hope that was a break. Again, Barry White, always really good. Always one of my favorite songs. I would really want to claim that this song is a classic, but it ties into what I said before going into the break, which is that the problem with defining classics as something as impressive, but things that feats of talent, is that it allows for evidently non-classic things to cheat their way into being classics. I mean, I can show you a song that's really impressive to listen to and make it an instant classic right then and there. The problem with this is that it would be a classic before anyone is even aware of it. And this is clearly impossible for classics. So an example of this is saying, like, the Beatles were a classic before anyone knew who they were. So that doesn't make any sense, because the Beatles are a classic because everyone knows them. In fact, that's like the... You could definitely say that a lot of the other bands and other music acts have more complicated music, have a better style music, have... Like Jimi Hendrix and his guitar is more impressive in its musical ability than maybe the Beatles. The Beatles are classic because everyone likes their songs, everyone knows their songs, for a different reason. Although, I mean, I'm not going to say the Beatles don't have impressive music. And I'm not going to say their classic songs aren't impressive in any way. I mean, they're good because they make you feel good, too. That's the thing about the Beatles, is a lot of the music is like, it makes you feel a certain way. But one of the most defining factors, like, the most defining thing about the Beatles is the fact that everyone knows them. So if I had to ask you, what's an example, what's a classic band, what's a classic music act, that is one of the first answers. That's one of the most common answers. So this brings in a crucial aspect of classicity into the conversation, which is the support of the majority. Something cannot be classic without having a clear support of a significant proportion of the population. Most commonly, the vast majority. For something to be classic, like 90% of the people, I'm gonna say 90, like a big percent of the people have to agree that it is a classic. A lot of impressive songs don't get recognized by anyone. Like Joe's Garage by Frank Zappa is an impressive song. I think it demonstrates excellent musical ability. Same thing with Never Let Me Down by... I mean, no matter how many times I tell... how many times I'm impressed by Jay-Z's and Kanye West's Never Let You Down, it's not going to get full classic status until the majority of people agree with me. So I'll play a song that I just mentioned that I think is quite good, but similar to Barry White's classic love theme, because I think it's an excellent song to listen to, but it's not going to get full status because many people don't really know what it is. Let's take a listen to this. Again, really, I think it's a fun song to listen to. It's a good jam. It's something that goes well in the background. It's also something, at least parts of it, that is like that. It's good to engage with it. If this was playing live, like, I'd be like, oh, I know this song. It made me feel good. It also seems to have like a lot of different instruments going into it. And And that's, well, that's a Frank Zappa thing. His music is like, it's, it honestly feels like a jam most of the time. And it feels like it's kind of more like it has like a jazz taste to it. I find that it does. And I like that about him. Frank Zappa is, I mean, he is a classic artist. But if I had to, if you were given a list, if you were, if you had to look at a list of like 100, the top 100, the top classic, top 100 classic songs, or like even right now, the Rolling Stones top 500 best songs of all times, it's not gonna have Joe's Garage in the top 500. If we did a survey, in like in these in the countries where Frank Zappa would be relevant, I don't know if we'll find Joe's Garage in the top 500 songs. So again, that goes to show that just because a song is impressive doesn't mean it's not going to get classic status. You just can't argue your way into that. Just like I can't, I just like the Beatles can't claim they were a classic before people knew who they were. That's just that, see, that wouldn't make sense. So if we went with my theory that I liked, my definition that said, that basically read that classicness was attributed to genuine ability and talent, a response of out of respect that arises from people, then you would have to basically assume that classicness, something could be classic before the majority of people recognized it as good. You could have an instant classic without anyone knowing it exists. And I don't think that works out. If I ask you what is a classical music album, people are gonna say The College Dropout. So again, this, you don't have to be impressed by your answer, because that's not really the question. It's not about which album is the most skilled, the most well put together album. It's not about which album. It's not about a personal favorite either. It's all relative to the question. I find that when I ask, what is a classic music album? The words translate to you to mean, what is a music album that most people agree best defines music albums? That would be the new definition of classic. And I find that it applies to every classic. All classics are subject to this principle. So let's go over some of the classic examples that I tried to prove my first theory with, like the Mona Lisa. So how is this a classic? It's the example most people would agree defines the question, what is a classic art painting? Or the Godfather, like what's a the Godfather, or some of the classic movies like Star Wars or The Joker. These examples best answer the question, what is a classic movie? And what is a rock star? Well, the best answer to that question would be Elvis, Freddie Mercury, or Jimi Hendrix, or the Beatles. These examples are what the vast majority of people would agree best define the question, and that's why they're classics. So this new definition that I'm presenting is basically, it just explains that classicness is, it's a relative term. Things are classic because the majority of people agree that they are classic. And that's fundamentally the only thing that makes something classic. As opposed to it being genuine worth that transcends time and culture. Classics are just things, are just the most recognized example that best defines a given category. What's a classic breakfast food? Cereal. You'll find that the majority of people will say exactly that. Or eggs. The more classic something is, the more common it is. So the more amount of people you can find that agree with you, the more classic it is. That's basically the definition. If I mean, I can look at Joe's Garage and think this is an amazing song, and I can initially say that this is a classic song. Across the board, this is one of the songs that best defines music. And then we'll, like, that would be enough to make it a classic. You'll find that because nobody else agrees with me, because everyone else has all of these other bands and songs, the majority of people find that Joe's Garage is not a classic. It's not worthy of classicness. Then you'll see that, I'll have to agree with them. I'll have to say, okay, well, Joe's Garage is probably, well, it's not a classic, but it's a good song. I'll have to find something else to say, like, you know, it's a treasure. It's worthwhile. Maybe if enough people listen to it, then it could be a classic. So to kind of wrap it up, what I understood this week was that classics are best defined as examples, the most relevant example of a given category. It's far from where I started with this whole thing. And I wonder if that's going to be my last definition on the topic. But pretty much anything that best defines a subject, because it has the support of the vast majority, becomes a classic. And typically, things that are supported by the vast majority happen to be pretty good, happen to be impressive feats of talent. They happen to be known, they happen to transcend generations because of that. But the singular most important aspect of it is that the vast majority of people agree that it best defines a subject. The vast majority of people agree. That is the most crucial aspect. And that kind of makes classics, it reduces classicness to a relative term. Things are only classic within the context of the times. If enough people agree with it, then it's classic. If for some reason it loses the support of people, then it's not that classic. And this is like a good example that there's some good examples that go with that, to say that I would say that there's good examples to go with that. How about that? Because maybe that would be a good discussion for another day. What is interesting is that this new theory, this kind of new definition of classicness, can be applied to deciding to this controversial debate that sometimes that occurs with people. Something that sounds like this. What is Radiohead's? What is a classic Radiohead song? Well, given this, given, I mean, the nature of what is a classic, Creep would be the number one choice. And, well, it's not a classic song because people are genuinely impressed by it. I mean, it's actually quite a simple song, and the band itself admits it, and they hate it because of it. It's such a simple song that it grew out of proportion, and people are so obsessed with it when they have long moved away from it. However, it's still a classic because the vast majority of people associate Radiohead to that song. The classic Radiohead song, Creep, Paranoid Android. Why? Because those are the songs that most people would associate Radiohead with. What's their best song? See, that is a different question. Because they might have a hidden gem. They might have songs that no one's heard of, that the typical person doesn't know of. And that's fine. If that's their best song, it's because, I mean, you've looked at all their songs and you've decided this one is the most impressive song. But it's still not going to be a classic if the vast majority of people have never heard of it. That wraps up the discussion on classics. I think that for now, pretty much every example I can think of matches that definition. There is not something that is classic that does not have the majority of support. That does not have the support of the majority. With that in mind, let me play to you a questionably classic song. If you know this song, then you've had a good education in music. That would have to be a classic song. Think. Let's review. Do enough people know Jimi Hendrix? At some point, people did. People nowadays? I wonder if Jimi Hendrix would make it onto a list of like the top 100 artists. If we just asked people today, how would that even work? Because would the survey be write down 100 artists, write down the top 100 artists? Or would it be write down, because like how which other way will we get 100 names? If I say like write down the top 5 artists, the top 5 classic artists to kind of directed into this way. Most people would end up writing, well, everyone would write five names, and it would most likely be around the same, like, 10 or 15 names that get, like, mentioned. So you couldn't really pull a list out of a list of 100 from that. But then if you ask people to write down 100, the top, the most, 100 most classic artists, not everyone's going to know 100, so. And then they're going to write down a bunch of, they'll just write down a bunch of, like, whatever, like, I guess contemporary examples, because at least they know those artists. And then it would be like, does that really count as classic? I mean, just because they're your personal favorites, does that mean? I mean, you would have to write down, basically the survey would have to be structured so that people understand classic means names that the vast majority of people would agree are define music. And we could see how that goes. And then we'd find out, what do people think is classic? What is classic, really? Because it's the people who decide what classic is. Anyways, that's the findings for this week. That's as far as that, as that concept goes. Now that I feel like we have a good understanding of what is a classic. And how does that apply to where, like, now what? Well, that's a fair question, and trust me, it always leads to another question. Like, it always leads to another question. I'd like to know, what is classic? What using this definition, what is the most classic? What is it that most people agree best defines a given subject? Well, that would pretty much wrap this up. Maybe that even wraps up the whole study on classics. Well, again, the show eventually, the time slot eventually ends. And I hope you guys have a good evening. I hope that was, yeah. I hope everyone has a good evening and has a relatively easy week and appreciates the rest of this of tonight. Hopefully you I don't know, do you agree with my definition on classicness? What are some classic things in your opinion? What is your definition? Let's see if maybe, you know, we can bring them together. Maybe we can find that my definition is wrong, or we can keep learning. Well, I hope you have a good evening, and I'll see you next week.